We're not there yet, Sam. It's
only I gotta wait.
Days in. We, you gotta right. wait.
Yeah. You have to wait. I saw a wino eating grapes and I was like, no, you have to wait.
You have to wait.
Gosh. Oh, Mitch. I've
quoted Mitch Hedberg no less than three times already this week. So
praise be to God.
Praise be to God.
I'd say the A word, but you know, it's Lent. This is going to be the intro to the podcast for sure.
I'm ready for it. Welcome to Lent.
Welcome to Lent. You're a sinner.
Turns out.
Welcome to this Bible podcast. I know, the name's super creative. I'm your host, Sam Lewis, and I'm glad you're here. We'll be diving into the daily lectionary, and I hope you'll find something that is maybe a little fun, maybe meaningful, and hopefully brings you closer to God. Let's dive in. Will you introduce yourself, where you are, what you do, and your pronouns and how you identify?
You're really looking to do a lot of production here. You got to chop this baby up.
Oh, yeah. Evidently.
Hello, friends. Hello, Sam.
Hello.
My name is Patrick McLaughlin. I am a United Methodist elder, pastor at the United Methodist Church of the Resurrection. I am stationed at our downtown location, heart of Kansas City. I also oversee all of our local mission work. So everybody that we engage with missionally in Kansas City. Father of Margot, I am the husband of Megan. I identify as a white, straight male with he, him pronouns. And I recognize the privileges that come with that and the honor that it is to be in relationships with others who identify differently. I think that's
awesome.
That'll do, right?
That'll do. Well, today we are looking at Psalm 17, 1 Chronicles 21, 1 through 17, and 1 John 2, 1 through 6. It's quite a compilation there and pretty lengthy, but we encourage you to pause, grab your Bible, and take a look.
I read and took notes. It's clear why these are grouped together. Like, they all communicate a very similar message. It was convicting of the ways that I get defensive and like the way that I arm up or the way that I get ready to go into battle, because that's what, like, David obviously had a lot more at his disposal. So when he's going out to like count his armies and just the preparation for battle was a note that I took, and God was pissed.
Like, right. I love this in the CEB. It says like, God was offended.
Like, don't even count your armies pissed. Like,
yeah.
I know where you're headed with this. I know where you're going. And it seemed like, if I'm remembering right, the people that he was surrounded by also kind of took notice, like, oh crap, like counting the armies. That's,
you're not, that's supposed never to do
a
that.
Good sign. Never a good sign of what's coming.
Yeah.
But like, I mean, comparing the two, like, I felt like the psalm, like, obviously we give authorship to David, but like that psalm could have been written as a result of what David was going through, or it could have been any number of times that David in his monarchy felt threatened, because that's, you know, that's what happens when you become a nation. Like, people want what you got.
Yeah.
And so he probably had a multitude of opportunities throughout his tenure as king to try to be faithful. And we know that he was counted as like righteous and faithful in spite of all of these mistakes. And so like, that's always a good reminder to me that God, even a screw up like King David is God's beloved, is God's like, man, what the heck?
We have these realities, right? We want to take care of our families. We want to take care of our kids. We want to, you know, be able to do fun things. And so like,
And then we live in a capitalist society that like says like, yes, you do want those things and those are going to make you happy. And here's how you get it. And so it's really hard to think about how we live with that reality and with this reality that we're called to something different.
For sure. For sure. Especially like, I think that I was caught by these passages, that especially the Old Testament ones, the consequences, like everybody suffered because of his bad leadership. Right. And so it's a reminder as like a leader in the church or just a Christian, right? You don't have to be a leader in the church to be a leader in the church, that our actions have consequences and people are suffering because of those decisions. And like, you know, did God want that? Like, of course not. Like, I screwed up. I caused this. Like, what is my role in healing this as well? There's also that aspect of like, is this a historical account of what happened, or is this a story, a mythology about like, you know, David's power? Somebody could have been touting his power or like undercutting him too, right? Like, look what David did. Like, he wasn't that great. All these people suffered. But David could also have, like, the people that are fans of David in those historic times, whatever it is, could have said, yeah, look, he was a powerful dude. And that also advances a story. It could kind of go either way. First John offers us, like, what should have happened, like, the heart of God to turn to Christ when we feel threatened. For David, it would have been just turn to God, turn to Yahweh, turn to, like, don't overreact. God's got this, as punny as that sounds, or as corny as that sounds, but put your faith in God. And the note I took here was that we make it about us instead of like being about we or they or all of us. And so we think of like this communal atonement, like everybody is suffering, like everybody has to atone. But we treat that so individually. Like David isn't even, we consider him a hero, right? Like did he ultimately even get punished for this? Like in the eyes of history, no. How many generations of people were cut off though because of his mistake? Like this idea that we find in like our global partners, especially in the global South, that like it's about us. It's not about me. It's not about I. So are we doing this for all of our sake? And so, you know, I say, yes, Christ's salvific acts were for my benefit, but they're also for yours and everyone's. I can't cry out as David did for forgiveness and help and turn around and punish those who have transgressed against me. How often does that happen? We've got always, right. Always. Like shit flows downhill, right?
God forgive me. They suck though. Like I over and over again. And this is not hard for me with like people who may be incarcerated. It is easy for me to say, like, yes, their life is valuable. No life is beyond redemption. Like that feels easy. It's the people who are like people in my life who are like doing well and kind of crappy people that I'm like, nah, I don't know if there's redemption for them. And like, turns out like even them and turns out like even me, right? It's this.
I wonder if that's why it makes it harder though, because we're so much like those people that are hard to forgive. Like we also don't want to forgive ourselves. If we forgive them, then we have to forgive ourselves.
Would you mind praying for us?
I love praying.
Awesome.
Let's do it. God, I'm so grateful for Sam and for her leadership and this podcast for Lent. And for those who are listening, God, I pray that they are able to take these daily scriptures and hear God's heart through them, that they would feel that protection, that trust, but ultimately that presence of no matter what we go through, that you will see us through that and you will see the good news, which our lives are intended to be about, that you will see that carried on with or without us, God. But we pray that you would continue to equip us, inspire us to be the conduits of that good news, to be the actors, to do Christ's work in this world. God, we anticipate, we look into the next 34 days of Lent with anticipation. Help that to grow within us, by measuring within us the ways that we have experienced death, the ways that we've experienced hardship, to know that those all, while they come at a cost, that you have a greater gift to offer in the resurrection. And so to help us live into that in every decision we make, every investment we make, every sacrifice we make, knowing that your good news is coming. It's on its way. And so, Lord, we pray for all these things, spoken and unspoken. Amen.
Amen. Well, thanks, Patrick.
Friend, it's a pleasure. I don't know why we don't do this more often.
I don't either. It's a joy.